Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 45, What is Salvation? Now, this is a very important topic. This may be the most important topic that I have covered in the 45 weeks that I have been working on this particular podcast. Now, if we look at Acts 4:12, this verse shows up, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So today we're going to be talking about what is salvation. And I'll be relying a lot on the books of Romans and Ephesians. These are two of the best examples of the Apostle Paul outlining a concise version of his gospel. This is what he believes. These are both statements of his faith. And it's no mystery when you hear about things like the Roman road, to understand how the Christian life begins and how the Christian life is supposed to take shape. So Peter delivered words in Acts chapter 4 that I just read, and the Jewish leaders agreed in Acts 4:17, in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. And so Peter had delivered this message after healing a beggar who could not walk. And these Jewish leaders just could not wrap their minds around Peter speaking the truth, because they had killed the one in whose name Peter was now preaching, and that is Jesus. So if Jesus brings salvation, and salvation can only come through his name, the question is, what exactly is salvation? Now, the Jews have been seeking salvation for years and years. So kind of go back through the timeline that we've studied. Remember how God heard the slaves in Egypt. He heard their cries and their prayers. Moses was the leader that God had sent to deliver them from oppression. And after his death, Joshua and all of the judges, they provided both military leadership and also guidance to lead the people. And then obviously there were the kings after the destruction of Jerusalem and the burning of that first temple. The children of Israel were actually ruled over by a series of foreign rulers. Obviously, Babylon first, and then Persia after that, and then eventually Greece, and then finally Rome. And that was who was ruling when Jesus's ministry took place. For those Jews, salvation meant a deliverance from those that would rule over them and take away their freedom and their right to worship God how they chose. Now, King David looked at things slightly differently. Read his Psalms, Psalm 62:1. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. What had David gone through that he needed to be saved from? Now, you think about not only when he was a young man protecting the sheep of his family. It talks about, you know, he killed a bear with his stick and so forth. But then from the giant, he was saved from King Saul's jealousy. He was saved from his son Absalom during his attempt to take over David's throne. He was saved from enemies on the battlefield. He was even saved from an angel of God that God had sent to destroy Jerusalem. You can find that in 1 Chronicles 21:15 through 16. So for David, and he spoke to God in a very personal way, for David, salvation was a protection from danger. But to really understand the salvation and the entirety that Jesus brings, you must look beyond the strictly Jewish story. Paul in Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So it's not only to this people group from whom Jesus came, who God had chosen and created from basically nothing, the Jewish people. Salvation is for anyone. And you look at the jailer who Paul and Silas prevented from killing himself. He begged for salvation after he'd already been prevented from dying. And so he had understood what Paul and Silas already knew. There's a much more important salvation than just military or political strength or being saved from physical danger. And so in Romans, we get the clear answer. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we meet again our old enemy, pecado, sin. Because of it, we can't live. So Mosaic law had provided a standard of living because of the curse that Adam had, you know, basically plagued humanity with. But the blood of sacrifices could not ultimately solve the problem. And if you look at Hebrews 10:4, it says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." So you cannot fix the problem once it is there. And no amount of good that you do can solve that. We know that from our own justice system. You can do all the good in the world, but if you commit a crime, you can still be convicted by a jury. And that's an imperfect jury of humans, not a perfect and holy creator. He is certainly not going to leave crimes unpunished. So now we know what salvation really is. It's really only natural to understand how do we get it. And I saw a beautiful illustration by Mike Leek, who is a writer, and he wrote on the website crosswalk.com. He's talked about the diamond ring that he purchased for his wife was a free gift, but it didn't cost nothing. And just because he offered it to his wife, she was never required to take it. And so it is with salvation. It is a choice. We are given the opportunity to come back across the chasm that we built, but only because the Son of God has already built the bridge. So read chapter 2 of Ephesians. And this is a beautiful example. And skipping through some of the verses, you can see the progression. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." That's Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5, 8 through 9, 13 and 16, if you want to look that up. So mercy protects us from the punishment we deserve. Grace gives us what we could never have earned. Christ brought us back to God when there was no way that we ourselves could pay that penalty. And beautifully stated in Romans 10, 9 through 10, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." And it is my prayer that if you have not already done so, that you would take the opportunity to believe in your heart, to confess with your mouth exactly who Jesus is, who Jesus said he was. He is Lord. And so take a moment, study the word, take the time to read all of Ephesians chapter 2. If you have time, read the whole book of Ephesians. This is one of the most beautiful and concise descriptions of salvation that you will find. And then take a moment and think about it. Most religions and philosophies in the world have some manner of balance system, sort of weights and balances. The good that is done must outweigh the bad, but each philosophy or belief system defines its own good and bad. And I would simply ask, how much good can an imperfect mortal being accomplish that will earn them a spot alongside a holy, perfect being? That's the situation in which we find ourselves. That's the reason that the weights and balances never does the trick. It never does enough. So thank you for listening. Definitely reach out if you have any questions. Please send a comment. And then, of course, I love hearing your thoughts. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.